to Expounded Universe, Season 6, Episode 5, Hot Girl-on-Girl Action. The book, Planet of Twilight, by Barbara Hambly. The year, 1997, fine. Chapters 9 through 10, with your hosts, Jeff and John. Let's go!
Drag me to Tay-Tell. My jerk-off motion is one of the endless. I mean, or, you know, you can just cover R2-D2 in flesh.
Welcome back to Expounded Universe, the Star Wars Expanded Universe novel discussion podcast with your hosts, Jeff and John. How are you, John?
I'm full of sugar and taurine, and I am ready to dig in.
Yeah, you've drank a lot of Monster.
I drank, not the silo. There's different versions of it. There's the can, there's the missile, and then there's the silo. I had the missile.
Yeah, I feel like the missile's bigger than the silo, but I guess a missile comes in a silo, doesn't it? Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
Because the silo is the one that is 4 servings.
It's still the kind
the
that
missile
comes
is 3, and then the can is 2.
It's the smallest size that comes off of that. What comes with that weird metal screw off cap?
Yeah, it's weird that the one that's like 4 servings of it goes right back to the pop top.
Yeah,
because you'd think, oh, this is like way too much of this drink, and they're like, well, you better get it all down at once, or like have 4 friends you want to share with.
See, I've kind of tried to quit on the giant energy drinks because of the whole cholesterol, heart, blood pressure thing.
Yeah.
But up until the very end, I was a big fan of the, I believe it was the orange Monster, the Monster that was orange, because to me it just kind of tasted like slightly more carbonated version of that McDonald's orange drink that you would get when you played soccer as a kid.
Yeah.
Now I kind of miss that, but not a huge amount. Nowadays, John, I'm all about that bubble water.
Hell yeah, man. Bubble water is great.
I got 2 different pallets of bubble water in the house right now. I got the just generic fruity stuff from like a Vons or whatever, and I have the La Croix because I know no one likes La Croix, but I don't find
a shitload of people like it, and I don't know why.
Oh, well, because it's the thing they have for sale at Costco is the reason. That's why I have it anyway. And all I get is the citrus flavors. I'm not about that like strawberry, passion fruit, acai berry life. I have lemon. Lime.
You're not getting that dragon fruit La Croix?
No. Lemon, because I buy a Costco pallet of the shit. Lemon, lime, and pamplemousse.
Pamplemousse.
Pamplemousse. I don't know why they don't just call it grapefruit, and they have to go with a crappy French word for...
Because I mean, it's La Croix.
I apologize to the French. Pamplemousse is an amazing name for grapefruit.
Oh, yeah.
If someone was like,
hey, who wants a pamplemousse? I'd be like, I'm sorry, what?
You're going to need to repeat that. I mean, if a Canadian guy offered me a pamplemousse, I'd at least check.
I'd be like, okay, well, first off, I need to know more here because I got some questions.
I want to see how these two things relate. Now, did the word moose derive from the word pamplemousse? Is there something about the large animal that reminds you of grapefruit?
Oh, yeah. It's delicious, like grapefruit.
You don't even like grapefruit.
I know. I don't. I hate it. So, I think it tastes disgusting, so, you know, that's me.
It's actually my favorite of the 3 soda waters that you get in La Croix.
Blech.
Well, did I get? I mean, I have not tried that, like, dragon fruit acai type flavor.
No, I don't even have the normal complaint that people have where they're like, oh, it tastes like you're drinking fizzy water while someone describes what a fruit is to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that the flavor isn't strong enough of whatever it says it is. It's just, it tastes weird to me.
Yeah, I don't really care. I just want the fizziness. It exists to remind me of soda, which I'm more or less trying to give up on.
Yeah, see, now for that, I'll get that that good Vons Refresh-A bubble water.
Yeah, pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, except it doesn't taste weird to me. For some reason, La Croix tastes like someone added, like, minerals to it.
I think someone probably did add minerals to it.
Yeah, it's like a big old rock is in there.
Yeah, 2 scoops of mercury in every La Croix.
Drink mercury, live forever.
Teach a man to drink mercury. anyway... John, we're doing chapters 9 and 10 of Planet of Twilight today, and boy, do we have a slow, boring story for you.
Yeah. You know, I would like to, maybe this is premature for me to say this.
Sure.
I don't understand why it's called Planet of Twilight. Like, I could understand if you were saying something like that for, like, Dathomir.
Mm-hmm. Sure, where it's, like, dark for 24 days out of the week, year or something.
Yeah, 24 days out of the week.
24 days out of the year, and the year is 25 days long.
Yeah, like, it's very dark a lot, and there's like night witches, and it's got a theme around that.
Yeah.
But this is just a crystal theme planet that doesn't seem to have any special connection to nighttime or sunsets or anything.
I mean, I'll be honest, I love the crystal nature of this planet, that it's just sort of shitty.
It's just a shitty crystal desert.
Yeah, it's not like it's gorgeous. Like, I was worried that it was going to be like a gorgeous planet of, you know, grow your own crystals in an aquarium, and here's a string you can use to guide their growth.
No, to me, I immediately imagined Krypton. I was like, oh, it's a crystal planet.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, or just any random zone in a World of Warcraft game that's got a crystal theme. There's just beautiful spires jutting out all over the place. But instead, it's like someone just shoveled shitty crystals everywhere.
Yeah, it's like, what is this? It's just a bunch of silicate nonsense all over the place, and it's no one gives a shit.
It's like the whole place is covered in coarse, see-through gravel. And honestly, that's pretty great. Like, as a concept. It's just like, this planet fucking sucks.
Fuck this place.
I hate this. But yeah, there's not a whole lot of Twilight action going on, is there?
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, we're halfway through the book at this point. Like, probably even a little more than.
I think we're less than. It's 22 chapters, and this is chapters 9 and 10.
Well, I'm saying page count.
Okay, yeah.
And there has been no mention of Twilight. There's been no reason for it to be called Planet of Twilight. Mm-hmm. I don't get it, and I don't like it. No, sir. I expect accuracy from the titles of my books.
I don't understand it, and I refuse to engage with it.
Well, the problem is, I am engaging with it, and it's sad, and I don't want to.
I think the two of us are probably engaging with this book at a level that's far, far above
what you should.
Anyone, the capacity that anyone has ever engaged with this book before.
Yeah, because normally the engagement with this book is reading two chapters, putting the book down, forgetting it exists, and never coming back.
Yeah, or filling out a bunch of stub Wikipedia articles about it, because all of them are like unlinked to anything else.
Yeah, everything is like, I'm going to mention a word.
Yeah.
And that's it. No one has ever used it or used it after this.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it starts, chapter 9 starts out with Princess Leia. All high on Sweet Blossom, as she often is, but not as high as she could be because she's constantly dumping that water off the railing.
Heck yeah, she's pretending to be high.
Yeah.
She's... I gotta say, I kind of love this.
Mm-hmm.
That... So the whole thing is like, oh, she has to be slightly doped up because she does need some water. But she's dehydrating herself so she doesn't get as high... But she's pretending to be that high, and the way she does it is because she knew a friend in high school that used to be stoned all the time. She's like, oh, I'll just act like my friend from high school.
I just want to find out that her friend from high school was just one of those people who was constantly pretending to be high.
Oh, yeah. But that's what I assume this is. She's like the kind of person who pretends to be drunk, and you're like, dude, you're obviously not drunk.
Oh,
you're just
God.
Doing it. You're going... I'm so drunk. You're like, no one who's drunk acts like that.
I think I might dance on the table. Someone pass me a lampshade.
Yeah, no, you're not drunk. No one has ever acted like that when drunk. This is the way you act when you act drunk.
Yeah. You know you're drunk when you, like, wake up and your phone has a bunch of phone calls on it. You're like, ah, crap.
Yeah,
and you know you're a fake drunk when you call everyone every night. You're like, I'm too drunk to talk. And then you hang up on them. That's bad. That's a bad kind of fake drunk.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, it turns out that she's hanging out in her forced hotel room, as she often does, but she is being spoken to by one of them synth droids that we always hear so much about in this book. This book basically just is a big old infomercial for synth droids.
Yeah, and synth droid is going to invite her to Beldorion for dinner.
Yeah, Beldorion the Splendid requests your presence for dinner.
And, beep,
yeah.
Boop.
And she's like, oh, man, it's an androgynous synth droid, but he kind of has the death seed plague, so he smells bad. Okay, so will Dazeem be there? I do not know. Okay, well, it's just that I want to know what I should wear to the party. I do not know. And I was like, I thought these things were supposed to be way more advanced than droids.
Yeah, like the whole point of these was supposed to be like, ooh, they could pass for human.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, apparently no.
Oh, apparently they're just sexy Zorks wandering around.
They're just beep boops.
You cannot get ye flask.
It's very strange to me.
Go west, droid. There is not that idea. Okay. Jeez.
Go west, young droid.
I do not know how to party. I am the Horace Greeley 5000 bot.
That's weird.
I am programmed only to plagiarize David Soul and run for president.
I am the hoggish Greedly bot. I will get you, Planeteers.
I might be the only person in my age group who knows more about Horace Greeley than Hoggish Greedly.
That's entirely probable.
Because I'm related to Horace Greeley, and thank God I am not related to Hoggish Greedly.
Well, only in looks are you related to Hoggish Greedly.
Oh, that's hurtful. So hurtful. I mean, in looks, I'm also kind of related to Horace Greeley. If I got rid of the beard part of my facial hair, I'd pretty much be a Horace Greeley.
Nope. A Horace Greeley.
Yeah. Of course, that dude died of drinking, so I'm going to do better than he did.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to die of not drinking.
I know. It's sad. Please, folks, help me. I need drinks to remain at a critical level of buzzedness.
If I don't drink 5 drinks an hour, I'll explode.
For just pennies a day, you can supply me with life-giving cider drinks.
No.
And vodka drinks.
To be fair, it is 10,000 pennies a day.
In exchange, you'll receive a tote bag and a picture of me drinking 2 ciders at once.
Man, I want that. I want a tote bag and a picture of you drinking 2 ciders at once.
Maybe, well, now I know what to get you for Christmas this year.
Yeah.
And I was stumped on that, too. Actually, I'll just do what I always do and tell your girlfriend to get it for you for Christmas because she always asks me and then she gets something different.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know what to get John. You're like, oh, he would like this. Yeah, but I was thinking not doing that.
Yeah, every time. And I'm like, here's this weird impractical thing that, while it sounds wrong, is perfect. It's invariably.
Here's the dumbest bullshit that John would love.
Yeah. And then she's like, I was thinking about something he actually needs for his car. And I'm like, he's not going to use it. What you're basically giving him is a chore to feel bad about. Now, like, what I want you to give him is Nicolas Cage pillowcases.
Yeah.
This year, get him a tote bag and a picture of me drinking. Folks at home, everyone should get John a tote bag and a picture of me drinking 2 ciders at once.
Look, if you support our Patreon at the $100 level, then you can join our exclusive club where you get a tote bag and a picture of Jeff drinking 2 ciders at once.
To give to John.
To give to me specifically. If you keep it for yourselves, you're really going against the spirit of the level. I mean, it is honor system, of course.
So just to be clear, we're 12 minutes in and we're about a third of the way down the first page of chapter 9.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Nothing happens in this fucking book.
So anyways, the droid doesn't know shit about fuck, but we sure do have Leia stop for a second to give us another spiel about the important value of synth droids and how they're the hot new commodity.
Oh, in the ad for this, it didn't say anything about synth droids having their senses used by whoever owns them to spy through them, but I know you could.
Yeah.
Which is a weird thing that she would know that you could do that, given that they are super new.
It's also weird that she isn't worried that every droid can do that.
Yeah.
Like, there's never a part where you see, in any book where you see Leia talking to R2, and she's like, all right, droid who has actually recorded me in the past, I'm worried that you might be able to record me.
Or being like, hey, I want you to record someone in another room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just hang out here and beepity boop and then record what they're doing.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to have come up at any given point.
Nope.
It's just these synth droids. But yeah, she's also like, man, they're sexy, but this one smells a little like death, which is weird, as she goes on to expound in her own mind, because synth droids, the one problem with them is that they don't smell like anything. The flesh they're made out of is too new, and that makes them unpleasant to a certain group of subspecies or of species that are specifically identify each other by scents, like Wookiees and little bat people, Chadger fan.
Yeah.
But you know what? The Lorinar Corporation, which beneficently manufactures synth droids, isn't all that worried about fixing that problem because Wookiees and Chadrafan don't have a lot of capital available, so why would they be buying synth droids?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for telling us a problem and then immediately dismissing it, and I'm going to go ahead and bet everything I own that the fact they don't smell like anything will not come up again.
Yeah, I have no... I mean, maybe it will because she mentions Wookiees and Chewbacca's in the book.
Well, Chewbacca's technically in the book.
Maybe some synth droid will be like, hello, sirs, I am a regular not droid person. And Chewbacca will be like, no, you're not. It's also weird that she thinks of Chadrafan first, even though her whole life she's been spending around Nogri.
Yeah, and we got a thing where the Nogri were like, they smell weird. They aren't smelling like peoples.
Yeah. But no, she's thinking about them Chadra fan today. I mean, I often think about Chadra fan too. Those things are adorable.
They're great. They're little bat people.
They're the best. Up until Porgs were introduced, they were the cutest thing in Star Wars. And they might still be. I don't know.
Up until BB-8 was introduced.
Oh, yeah. Well, BB-8's the most toyetic thing in Star Wars, and that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
It's pretty much BB-8, the lightsaber, everything else.
BB-8, the lightsaber, Star Wars.
The concept of Star Wars, the Millennium Falcon. Prince Shizor makes a great toy. And he owns several as well.
Of himself.
The most exotic of toys. From the most exotic of destinations. Each one of them I had the toy maker killed after he made the toy.
This is a G.I. Joe base, and it transforms into a transformer. They only made one, and then I murdered him.
Oh, this is Super Mario Brothers 4.
Oh, haven't heard of it. Well, there's a reason.
My uncle works for the Empire, and he got me a copy of it. So yeah, she's worried about whether like Ashgat or Dazeem will be there, but the droid's useless and just stomps off. And then she thinks about it for a while, she thinks about synth droids for a while, and the next thing you know, she's having a pleasant early evening dinner with Beldorion.
Yeah, she gets led down to Beldorion, and Beldorion basically tries to Jedi mind trick her into
being
on his side.
Yeah. So he is basically bragging and whining. That's all he ever does. And we have a brief moment where she stops to consider Hutts in general, and she's like, most Hutts get fat when they get old. I also knew a Hutt once who got skinny when he got old because he was maltreated by another Hutt.
And that was sad, and everyone thought he was a dumb jerk.
Yeah, his name was Corda, which is a great name for a really skinny Hutt.
Yeah.
But this Hutt's different. It's like he just kept getting muscly as he got old.
He just got stranker and stronger.
Like he's Jack LaLanne or something.
Yes, this Hutt owned a Bowflex.
Oh, Guta, for just 12 easy payments of $29.99. Don't let yourself just cover it with laundry in a room.
Oops, too late.
You actually need to slither on it every day.
Yeah, I want to slither on it.
Well, but he's whining because he's just like, oh, I used to be a good ruler here, but then Seti Ashgad came and he undermined me.
I got that Tasselda lady. You remember last chapters, yeah. Tasselda? Yeah, it was she hated me, and I used to be the best benevolent ruler, and then she fucked it up.
I mean, the interesting thing you keep getting about this is that this dude was definitely a Jedi and not a Sith when he came here.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't come here on the Emperor's behest. He didn't come here on behest of, you know, whatever people in 1997 thought the bad guys were going to be before Darth Vader existed.
And also came here with Tasselda.
Yes. Yeah, him and Tasselda arrived at the same time, and then they pretty much split off on their own and had little side quests and became enemies.
Yeah. Well, like they both wanted to essentially be in charge.
Yeah.
And I guess both of them are super into the idea of mind control.
Yeah, they're like a pair of mind control cool Jedi. I wonder if one of them was like the master and the other one was the student, but we don't really get that.
No.
They just showed up at the same time. He is also just sort of whining about how his decadent life has kind of fallen to shit because Seti Ashgad is in charge now and not keeping him as resplendent as he used to be.
Well, I used to have a cook that was amazing, and this guy's great, but he's no my other cook.
Yeah, and indeed, he calls for a lunch to come out, and it's like a big pool of Vaseline with a big berry on it.
That's right.
Yeah, it's like a colored sea of petroleum product is the way it's described in the book.
Yep.
With a huge, fat, weird blueberry on top. And Leia's trying to be polite, so she takes a slice of the berry, and then
it's super good.
And that's when he drops the gross thing. He just pulls like a Temple of Doom. And he's like, yes, isn't that delicious? It's a salt flea. I had it grown to massive size against its will.
Ah, yeah.
You're eating a bug ass.
Specifically the ass.
I mean, to her credit, this isn't a point where Leia goes all Willie Scott.
No, she doesn't, like, spit it out. She's like, oh, this is delicious.
Ew.
And I know that whatever the race, I forget what he said.
Kubaz.
Kubaz.
Garandin's the most famous Kubaz. He's the spy in New Hope who picks up a little, he's got the elephant trunk made of metal.
Yeah.
And he picks up a little microphone and goes, wah, 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 wah.
Yeah, but they're apparently known chef-wise as just using insects. That's what they do.
But not just, like, cooking with insects. They're not like, ah, I made a lollipop and put a mealworm in there.
No, they're like, I do weird, like, hormone therapies and genetic manipulations, and I just take insects and turn them into rad food.
Yeah, they're really good at that. And And Beldorion's just bragging about it. He's like, oh, and you should see what he can do with Tresseths or whatever, some little bug. He tortured the shit out of them because it made them delicious.
Yeah, it says that the hormones they release when they die, if they're in pain, are great, and he'd fucking wreck their shit.
You should see what he can do with a fleek eel.
Nothing. It's not a bug. He can't do a goddamn thing with
he
it.
Can take the parasites off a fleek eel, grow them to 15 feet across,
and then they eat a fleek eel.
But anyway, he died a while ago, and now he's got a shitty chef who isn't as good. And he is basically spending time trying to kind of convince Leia to be on his side, although we don't really establish why or what the point is or anything.
No, it's just him continually trying to make eye contact with Leia so he can start being like, and mind control? Yeah.
Well, he is Beldorion of the Ruby Eyes.
It's true.
So that must be how his force powers work.
And just as he manages to sort of get control over Leia and be like, yes, yes, come here, we're friends now, right? Legius comes in and is like, hey, dude, maybe don't do that shit.
Oh, Legius. And he calls him the philosopher. He has such a stilted manner of speaking, does Beldorion. He's like, I remember a certain time a while ago when we had a discussion about how I didn't want you to come in and talk to me, and that still applies now. And I was like, was this guy talking like Orson Welles?
I remember a certain time.
We know a little place where wine is grown.
they're even better cold.
Wine isn't grown. This is ridiculous on the face of it. You find me a place that grows wine and I'll suck your cock.
Thank you, Orson.
Indeed. So, anyway, yeah, Legaeus basically gets her out of there, but not before Beldorion uses the Force to give him a migraine.
Yeah, he's like, eh, fuck you, buddy.
What an asshole. Migraines suck.
I know, right? God, what a dick.
I'd fuck cut this guy in half now. I'd be like, ah, shit, once I get a migraine, I got to just lie still till it changes from night to or from day to night. That's the only way to end a migraine for me.
I take too much painkiller and then put a damp cloth over my eyes and try not to explode.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was a kid, I would literally scream into a pillow when I got them. And usually I'd barf. Thankfully, I don't get them as often as I used to.
I do, and they're terrible.
They're not great, so I think we're both on the same team. Fuck Beldorion now.
Oh, yeah, Beldorion can go bite a fart.
Well, anyway, Leia and Legaeus are walking back to her, like, chambers, and he accidentally lets slip something very important.
Oh.
Ooh. Well, basically, she's, like, trying to turn him at the same speed that Beldorion's trying to turn her. And he's like, oh, I wish I could help you, but I'm trapped here on this planet. Ever since Seti Ashgad overthrew the Beldorion, the hut, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, wait, didn't Seti Ashgad's dad do that? And he's like,
My bad.
I'm a good philosopher, but a bad liar. Anyway, in here you go. Drink your sweet blossom.
And
drink your Powerade.
Drink this Gatorade, a child's drink for idiots. But we also find out that he is the holo faker.
Yes, he's very good at making fake holograms. And he takes some time to offer her some ridiculous holograms.
Yeah, he's like, look, if you want anything, I can make whatever you want. Do you want to see, like, some, like, rare holograms of a band that broke up? Do you want to see, like, One Direction?
Yeah, he's got weird holos of Alderaan back before it blew up. So he's like, would you like to watch the sweet flies explode over the honey lake of the Nougat Nebula? Because Alderaan is just fucking like that.
Do you want to see that bee from Honey Nut Cheerios suck off the bee from that pollen
movie?
Commercial? That Antonio Banderas bee? I bet you do. I bet you do.
And then the Jerry Seinfeld bee gets in there.
And he's like, what's the deal with bees?
Could I have my dick any more sucked?
Oh, that's Chandler.
Oh, damn. You're right. Could my dick get any more sucked? Has Chandler B ever played a bee?
Yeah, Chandler B.
Yeah, that's what. So anyway.
Anyway, and then also is like, oh, do you want to see your husband or your children? Oh, wait a minute. That's a real fucked up thing to say.
And he's like, you'd almost forget that they aren't them. And I was like, wait a minute. I've seen Star Wars holograms. They'd be grainy little blue things.
Nah, man, he does super cool holo fakes.
Oh, well, good for him.
He's great.
He's Diego Rivera from Neuromancer. Great, good for him. But anyway, she's like, no, that'd be fucking creepy. What's wrong with you? And then she's like, has to stop for a second and think to herself again. She's thankfully, like, not about synth droids for fucking once.
No, but she's like, oh, this guy is basically like an abused puppy, and if I get angry at him, he will flinch away from me, so I have to be like, oh no, it's okay.
Also, I forgot that my husband and kids are both famous public figures.
Oops, my bad.
Oh, I need to think about that for a second. It would be weird that people would have hollow, oh no, wait, we're all like generals and important rich people, and
and
we live in the emperor's old house.
I forgot, we're the bourgeoisie. need to be overthrown.
What's that guillotine sharpening sound I hear? that's the end of Leia.
She's dead now.
She disintegrates.
Brother! When it disintegrates.
So we cut to Han, thank God. Han's up to something.
Han gets the back part of this chapter, and that's it. But by God, it is the only part of these chapters where stuff happens outside of people just standing around talking to each other.
It's good stuff. Like, it's not important to the book at all, but it's well described.
That's the thing, is when we finally get a scene of like, and now action, you're like, oh great, this has fucking nothing to do with the actual story.
Yeah, no, it's the same thing with the Tiselda part of the previous episode, where Tiselda is not going to be a major character in that. You can just tell. She's just a weird, crazy, burnout Jedi on this planet. But all the descriptions were like, oh, this is neat. Like, this is a crazy lady with messed up hair waving in the wind, and she's eating bugs and casting lightning storms. I mean, that's rad.
I mean, at that point, you're just like, okay, like I said last time, you're Jedi Miss Havisham. That's great.
That's awesome. Well, what Han is up to is, he took the data that he got from
the Next Generation.
Yeah, he took data from the Next Generation and took him apart and put him back together and made him lore. Good. Yeah. Or that third one, whatever that was.
Data, lore, and folk tales?
It was just Data's daughter.
Rumor?
Lol.
Lolf?
Lol is Data's daughter, right?
I don't know.
The one episode where he builds a
he has a daughter, and the daughter immediately is like, hey, I don't know what this whole not getting emotions thing is. It's easy. I'm fully human. Bye.
Oops, I wish to die. I think at the end of the thing, she requests to be disabled. Or it just turns out that she's going to die. Like, he built her wrong, and she's going to fall apart pretty quick. Low shelf life or something.
I don't know. I thought she just got all emotions and was like, peace, I'm out.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm cool now.
Maybe that traveler showed up and took her to wherever the fuck Wesley went.
Yeah, Fuddruckers.
Yeah, Wesley's eternally at the Fuddruckers in the stars.
Yeah, he's at Fuddruckers on 5th, and he's just eternally there having cool burgers.
Putting so much nacho cheese on his hamburgers.
Yeah, he's like, oh, it's free!
Free cheese!
Look, I can just dump as much as I want. No one stops me.
That poor bald traveler dude, like, I know about the cheese.
Give it 1,000 years. You'll get over it.
I don't think that's true.
1,000 years later, cheese is free.
Look, it's still full of cheese.
It doesn't empty.
Okay.
It gets low and someone comes around and replaces it. It's not magic at all.
You're doing that with your super magic mind or whatever, Wesley.
Am I?
I don't think that's true. I think
I'm pretty sure that guy refills it. He's Tim.
It's just cheese.
Hi, Tim. Thanks for refilling the cheese.
I'm part of your mind, Wesley.
Tim. Classic Tim.
So anyway, that's the announcement that we're also doing TNG now. I'm kidding, we're not.
Han picked up Lando at some point. We don't get that.
No.
That doesn't happen on screen.
What he did take is the data from Mon Mothma about the jump points that the ships were last seen at. And so he's out in that area scouring for problems.
Now, he has found a heat signature on an otherwise entirely barren ice planet.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's super weird that would be there, and is like, oh, it's probably a crashed ship.
Yeah.
And the heat signature is, of course, slowly shrinking because it's a ridiculously cold ice planet. And so even a crashed ship is going to get frozen over.
You know, before we get further into this, I realized what I named the episode back at the beginning, so I need to jump back for just a second to justify it. Legaeus was a holofaker, yes.
Yeah.
And he was originally hired by Beldorion because...
Oh, because he can make Huddy's pornography, and he's good at making the pornography, whatever, I guess, Beldorion wants it to be.
Yeah, he's really good at figuring out Beldorion's specific kinks.
I mean, in my head, it was just a regular porno with a badly photoshopped picture of Beldorion's head over some guy's body.
Well, the thing is, he keeps calling it Hutties pornography and not Hut pornography. And Hutties.
Well, yeah, because the Huts are just asexual.
Yeah, they reproduce asexually. Although they do come in male and female. They can choose which one they'd like to be. They reproduce asexually.
Yeah.
But Hutties is the language, which just means that it's regular porno that's been dubbed over in Hutties.
Oh, no, bodo, godo, blowjo.
So anyway, I just thought I just needed that to get mentioned real quick. Hutties pornography needed to come up and then go away again.
Obodo no godo old Jedi ass eat. All right, that's the last of them. I'm done now. We can continue with this chapter.
Yeah, sure, no problem.
So anyway,
Wonga deep throat.
No Jabba, no butt sex.
So anyway, God damn it. It turns out that, yeah, a ship has crashed in this ice planet, but the interference from the mega storms all over the planet make it hard to tell what's going on. So Lando and Han and
Chewie, they land on the ice planet, and therein is a crashed ship that when they get close to it, it is not the Adamantine or the Borealis. So it is not either of the two ships that they were looking for.
No, it's like the Corbantis or the Bernalis or something like that.
And so they have to go and they're like, oh, fuck, it's not the actual thing we are looking for. But we also can't just be like, huh, well, fuck these people, bye.
Yeah, so now
we're good guys, so now we're on the hook to save them.
Now they're doing a rescue mission, and honestly, the rescue mission is easily the coolest part of these two chapters, because the planet's really well described. It's got a horrible ionic storm typhoons happening all over it, so Barbara does a great job of making it sound like they're making their way through tossed, battered seas.
And also,
it feels very nautical.
Even once they get into the ship, the description of like these frozen bodies and people who are trying to get to like the core of the ship where the most heat was, and those who didn't make it, and it's a very good description of like, oh man, Han's all fucked up over this, and it's a real like spooky but still like everything's very still and placid because everything's frozen.
Yeah, this big old like freight hauler ship had about 200 people on it. When they get there, most of the people in the front died almost immediately from impact.
Yeah.
But then they're making their way back, and they see a bunch of people that just gave up and died because of cold. And
yeah, then they're making their way downtown.
Yeah. Now him and...
Faces pass. Frozen flash.
And then they're walking in Memphis.
I don't got anything for that.
You know, they're not walking with their feet 10 feet off a beel?
No, I mean, I don't have a frozen thing for that.
Oh, well...
I don't have a joke about it being cold there.
Well, then maybe I should just let it go.
Yeah. There you go.
Let it go.
Hey. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Okay, great. So anyway, he's talking to Chewbacca. He's like, oh man, these people died hard. It's alcohol would freeze at these temperatures.
Yeah.
But yeah, the core of the ship, the radiation core of the ship is still hot a little bit. So people have made their way in there to hide, except they don't have radiation suits. So everyone in there is like melty and dying.
Yeah. And even a few of the people that managed to get radiation suits on beforehand have been sitting like right next to a radioactive core that is leaking, which means it, even though they had radiation suits, it still fucked them up.
So there were 17 people left alive, and only 15 survived the journey over to the Falcon, which means now the Falcon's full of like radiation burned survivors of a random ship.
Yeah, they've got a bunch of people that are basically like, their eyes have melted out, and their hair's gone, and their skin's all boiled. And
of course, Han can't help but just think about Leia. That's his whole way of identifying the process. He's like, man, I don't understand the horrifying radiation burns of all these people, but if I imagine Twilight Sparkle in there...
Yeah. He's like, ooh, I can't imagine thinking about Leia face down and those bodies frozen or purpled and
with her eyes melted out.
Fucked up. Looking like shit like this guy.
It's a good thing our nanny looks exactly like her, so I'd still be okay, you know, mostly.
You know.
Like, sex-wise.
I'd be like, put on this wig.
You're too blonde for me, Winter.
You're too fucking blonde!
And she's like, no, I'm not down with this. He's like, fine, I'm going to the planet of Twilight Sparkles.
Fine, I'm going to get this dude to make me some Huddies porn.
I think I just named the next episode of this. Now he's... Lando's like, where the hell should we take all these survivors? And he's like, the nearest medical sector base is at the planet Bag Show.
Yep. So they go to leave, and all of a sudden, lasers!
Yeah.
Motherfucking lasers!
They're getting hit constantly by little tiny lasers, but there's nothing on the radar.
They're like, look, there's no ships out there that we can see. There's no base. There's no fighters.
Yeah. Well, eventually, they look out the window, and sure enough, they're being attacked by dozens of tiny ships. They're basically needle-shaped.
They're pretty much like, what is this? They're about the size, like, slightly larger than a person.
Yes, they're about 2 meters long and very, very narrow, and all they really have on them is a laser. And then they have time while they're being shot at by these things, which they can't shoot back at because they're just too little.
Yeah, you're like, I can't get a bead on this thing. They're tiny.
But they're like, huh, those things can't possibly have hyperdrive units. They're too small for that. Also, that must mean there's a capital ship around here that's dispensing these things. Let's take a look around for a capital. Ow, we got shot again. Let's take a look around for a capital ship. Oh, no, I am worried that this means that there's a whole fleet of ships out here.
And the other thing is they're like, oh, also, they're not automated because they aren't falling for any false signal. So they're not like just targeting based on that.
Yeah, they specifically say they can't possibly be drones.
Yeah, because instead of targeting through like the signals that they would be getting, it looks like they're actually tracking and looking at the ship, which means it would have to be a person. And I don't know why it would have to be that, given that droids can look at things. But whatever.
Well, it's not like 3/4 of the page space of this book hasn't been taken up so far describing to us the intricate wonders of droids that are powered by remote control.
Yeah. That don't need to have huge verbo brains. Yeah. They just need a little tiny brain that just hooks up to something else.
They have a crystal radio that connects them to a crystal ship a little further away.
Yeah.
And even Han's been on that kick talking about them synth droids. So... guess what? These are synth fighters, and the book tries to present it as a mystery, but
yeah, it doesn't come out and say it right now. But yeah,
let's be realistic. That's what these are.
Yeah,
these are synth droid fighter ships without synth droid. It's just the crystals in.
Yeah,
there.
It's just the synth droid brain in a tiny little fighter ship.
Yeah. Well, Han has a big plan, which is to shoot every laser on the Falcon forward, and then fly behind the lasers, and then jump to light speed, and hopefully he won't hit his own lasers.
Yeah, turn the lasers off before they jump, so they don't jump into their own lasers.
Anyway, that works, and that's the end of Chapter 9.
Hooray!
What an exciting time. Also, we forgot to mention that when Beldorion eats his berry, he does so in a Rabelaisian fashion.
Yeah.
When I first came across it, he was like, yo, he eats his berry with Rabelaisian delight. I was like, wait a minute. I know Rabelais. That's a word I know. I had to take French classes. I speak a lot of French. They're talking about Francois Rabelais. That's like saying that one of the people that they met on Cersei Station was a Dickensian orphan.
Yeah, it's a word that I'm like, there's a lot of words in these two chapters specifically that it felt like... the author was like, oh, I'm going to look up cool ways to say something.
Yeah, let's get some $5 words in this book.
And, you know, instead of saying, like, crest, they have, like, eschatalon or whatever.
Yeah, they have escutcheon. They also have tannoy instead of radio.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, ooh, I got to go find a thesaurus.
Yeah, but Rabelaisian in particular takes you right out because you're like, wait a minute, that's the guy who wrote Gargantua and Pantagruel. Like, that's an earth person.
Yeah, you...
there's a line.
Don't have someone think something is... a like Dickensian or Rabelaisian, because then you're immediately like, wait a minute, hold on, does that mean that there was an equivalent Star Wars person who was like, I'm Jack Rabelais?
Well, it's just a whole species called the Rabelaisians.
That was my actual first thought when I saw it. It's a species
that eats things with gusto.
Yeah,
yeah. But I was like, no, it's a real, that's an English word. I know what it means and I know where it comes from, and I'm grumpy now. There's a line in the sand, and that line is the word sadism.
Yeah.
You can go as far as sadism and no farther, because sadism is deep enough and ingrained enough and important enough when writing fictional books that you don't really start thinking about the Marquis de Sade right away.
No.
But anything past that, anytime it's more than a couple of syllables, you get your Dickensians and your Rabelaisians, and you can't have them.
No, you cannot.
Yeah, it's the same thing as if, like, she wandered into a hut and there was a Franklin stove in there.
I mean, that or just being like, oh, he ate it with absolute French glee. And you're like, wait, hold on, what?
I'd like a synth turkey sandwich with Swiss cheese from the planet Switzerland.
From the planet Swission Prime.
Not Swission Beta. Their cheese sucks.
That cheese has no holes.
No holes at all. What is this? The worst kind of Huddy's porn?
No holes. No holes.
Anyway, the whole other chapter is Luke, so settle in.
Settle in for Luke.
And Luke alone.
Luke going to
a fancy
party. A town hall meeting.
Okay, so.
But before that, we find out that Luke has been on this planet for about 3 days.
Long enough to start growing a beard and so on.
But he's gone full native in those 3 days. He hasn't shaved. He's now wearing the local clothing. Mm. He has a fucking temp job at
Kroig's.
A repair shop in Hwegshul.
Yeah, so he's working for a Kroig is, I believe, a Duro. They mentioned at one point that Kroig is Durosian. So he works for a Duro. He is he's a part-time mechanic, and he looks like a local, and everyone calls him Owen.
Yep. So he's just straight up like, yep, well, fuck it, I'm here now.
Yeah. So what's going on with him, you ask? Well, he's working his hard-earned day of work when all of a sudden he looks up because he hears you, Molly Darm, coming in, is the rugged lady that he sometimes hangs out with.
If you're a rugged lady on a crystal planet, you Molly Darn.
So you Molly is showing up to give him a speech about crystals, because Lord knows
we need... Hey, I got crystals. You know crystals are cool?
We need to hear way more about crystals and synth droids, and here she comes to do that for us, because you see, the crystals on this planet are one of the major exports of the planet to the insidious Lorinar Corporation.
Oh my god, we just heard them last chapter. They're the people who make Smith droids.
They make them synthos. It turns out that the crystals on this planet, when exposed to electrical charges, change their interior matrices. So you can zap them and they'll change on the inside and then keep that change, which makes them ideal for electrical-based computing and radio signal transfer.
However, when Umali's like, oh, here, let me show you. This is one of the shitty ones that I have that probably wouldn't buy anyway, but let me show you what happens. You see the weird little, like, shadowy gray striations inside this crystal? Now watch what happens when I zap it. And when she does, Luke just has his mind explode. Like, he gets a force feedback that wrecks his shit.
Yeah, now, one would assume that the same thing would be happening to Leia every time she talks to one of them synth droids. You know, because she's also a Jedi, and because synth droids have those crystals in them.
Well, we don't know they have those crystals in them.
We know that they use a resonating crystal frequency. I'm pretty sure we know.
Well, I think what happens is they change the crystal to what they want it to be and then put it in them.
This kills the crystal.
Yeah, they go, all right,
let's cut the crystal's head off.
We take this crystal, we zap it so that the weird smoky bits inside are the way we want them to be, and then we're done.
Yeah, and this kills the crystal. And so Luke hates it, but he's like, you know, I don't understand what the hell just happened. She tries to throw him the crystal so he can look at the change that's happened inside of it from her zapping it with a tool. And he's so scared of it that he moves his hand away and it shatters on the floor.
Yeah. And so she's like, you all right? Because you just freaked out real bad and then, like, backed away from a crystal.
Yeah. And he's like, he's like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. It's just that wasn't the right crystal. I need to see the correct crystal shard. M. Gelfling.
I need to see the crystal star.
Yeah. And she was like, don't reference the dark crystal. Let's just keep going. And she's like, hey, by the way, would you like to come with us tonight? We're going to a town hall meeting because, you know, Seti Ashgad's back in town. And they say he's got work.
Seti Ashgad's back in town and... so are the boys, and if they want to fight, you better let them.
Man, that song is so weird when you stop and think about it. So Seti Ashgad's coming back to his palace, which Luke has seen before but not actually been in. This is his Hwegshul palace. It's different than his other palace.
Yeah, the palace at the Mountain of Lightning?
Yes. Neat place. That's a cool description.
Yeah.
I'm excited to find out what that is.
That's where Leia is.
Okay, well, never mind then.
Yeah, come on now.
Anyway, she's like, yeah, apparently he's got some work. I think it's just another shipment from off planets coming in, and he wants people to go out and get it. So maybe we can get you some cash in that work. Plus, you can everyone from all over the planet's going to be there, so you can ask around about that lady you're looking for.
Yeah, look, if anyone's seen your friend, then this will be the best time to do it, because all the newcomers are going to be there, because everyone loves listening to Ashgad.
They're going
to
be coming from as far away as Distant Place, which is practically the name of one of the places she lives. I forget what it specifically is. It's like Far Horizon or something.
Yeah, it's fucked off that way.
People are going to be coming from as far away as Long Boring Drive.
They're going to be coming as far away as East Bumfuck.
Paris, California.
Ew. Maybe I won't go.
I think most of the cities on this planet are basically Paris, California.
Jokes for us.
Okay, so he's like, yeah, I guess I'll go with you. And then him and old Aunt Jin and Umali Darm and his buddy from the first person he meets. Arvid Krellblob.
Yeah, Arvid Krellblob, the janitor for the flower shop on Skid Row.
Arvid Krellblob, one of the bathroom attendants from Millie Ways.
Millie Ways?
Yeah, the restaurant at the end of the universe.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
You didn't know it had that name?
No. It's a good cut.
Yeah.
I like it. I mean, I went to Little Shop of Horrors.
That's fine. With one of my personal all-time favorite musical.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. It's an amazing. I mean, the songs in it. I think my favorite musical to watch is probably Rocky Horror. But in terms of like listening to the soundtrack, it's Little Shop all the way.
I mean, Little Shop is amazing. Yeah. I don't know. I do love Jesus Christ Superstar.
I know. You're a huge Jesus Christ Superstar fan, and I can't fault you that. Almost every song in it is a rock jam.
I mean, it is a real banger of a musical.
Virtually every song in that thing is a banger.
There are a few like filler songs that happen that I'm like, oh, like I don't need a song about fucking Peter denying Christ three times. That's okay, but whatever.
When I think about Little Shop, I'm like, okay, what are the filler songs? And they're really, what's the filler song? Everything's fucking rad in Little Shop.
Oh, yeah.
Son Be a Dentist, Somewhere That's Green, Skid Row, Feed Me.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
they're all so good.
You gon' get it.
Oh, God, I love that song so much. See,
supper time.
Oh, God, I love it. What a big fancy car. I just love that guy. All right.
Oh, it's so good. Oh. Fucking Jesus. Okay, anyway. Yeah.
Sorry about that. Here we go.
Here we go. One, two, three. He goes to City Ashcan.
They're walking down there, and as they're walking along, who should walk up next to them but our old cop, Irish,
our old pal Krupski.
Grupp and Snaplance are here. The couple of Irish stereotype cops, except one of them's an Ithorian.
Yeah, it's old Officer Krupski, and he's here to break up the jets and the sharks from fighting. And
yeah, he's basically running security to make sure that old timers don't show up.
I think they're like the only cops here because apparently they're the only ones that matter.
Yeah, they're the only cops we're going to keep meeting. It's fine. It's like how Detective Bullock seems to be everywhere in Batman.
Hell yeah, he does. He's everywhere you want to be.
Even though he's a lazy shit, he's always the cop on scene.
Heck yeah. It's because he's causing the crimes, Jeff.
I mean, except for the beginning of Batman 89. In the beginning of Batman 89, they get that announcement that there's something going down at the warehouse where the Joker falls in the vat. And the Commissioner Gordon's like, well, who's the outstanding cop who's there? Because he's all Pat Hingley. And they're like,
he's all Pat Hingley.
And it's like, it's Winston, sir. And remember that? He goes, oh, my God. Wasn't Bullock.
Not Bullock. Well, Winston Bullock is his full name.
Winston Duke Bullock. Yeah. That's him.
That's him.
Oh, my God.
Holy That's, mother of God.
That is almost definitely one of the best oh my gods of cinematic history.
And it was wasted on that.
Yeah, it's like a little nothing line. It's just like there's some shit cop there. That's all you have to know.
And it doesn't matter at all.
No. Oh my God. I kind of wonder what cop it would have been where you'd be like, oh, okay, good.
Yeah, good, thanks. Yeah. It's Montoya. Oh, great.
Rene Montoya, that's wonderful.
Fucking well, great, awesome,
perfect.
I love it. I got a boner right now.
Yeah, the question's going to handle it. I mean, sorry, not yet.
I got ahead of myself.
Yep. Anyway, so we get to the house, and the house is guarded by synth droids, and Luke walks through a place where Luke sneaks off, basically. He breaks off from the guided tour and sneaks off, and what does he see? Obviously the kitchen where that Kubaz used to make super bugs.
And the thing is, he's still got that fucking map that Tasselda gave him.
Yeah, so,
he's like, ooh, I wonder if they've got cool stuff here.
Yeah.
But he does manage to make his way to the place where it says that the, like, treasury or whatever is.
Mm-hmm.
And it has clearly not been fucked with in years. Like, it's just covered in dust and there's nothing in there.
Yeah.
He's like, ah, all right.
Never mind. She's just a crazy old bug-eating lady.
And then a synthroid's like, may I help you, sir?
You are requested in the presence of Mr. Body.
I'm the butler. I buttle.
I'm going to go home and fuck my wife.
This episode is just entirely brought to you by references to good movies.
It's because we're missing seeing good things, right? Or reading good things.
It's real sad because this shit is so boring. Like, the entire chapter is just Luke hanging out at a town hall meeting. It's so bad.
It basically, the whole structure that we've encountered in this book, and it might just be because we're doing it in a two chapter time structure, is that Leia and Luke find out shit at the same time, and it's boring. So, like, Leia hears a bunch of crap about how Beldorion used to have a weird, sadistic Kubaz insect cook. And then Luke finds all the kitchens where he used to do all his cookerating. And then Leia finds out that Legaeus is a promising and superpowered holo faker. And then Luke watches a fake holo.
Yep. That's... It just flows, being like, oh, hey, you remember this? Now let's see it in action. And then you remember when I introduced this? Let's see it in action.
And then Leia gets a brief suggestion that Seti Ashgad might be the same guy just 80 years later and not aging for some reason.
Yeah.
And then Luke thinks the same thing when he watches Seti Ashgad speak during this town hall meeting. It's just they're coming to the same conclusions at the same speed. And
which
it's,
is slow.
Yeah. So basically the town hall meeting is that Seti Ashgad comes in and is addressing all the newcomers who he promised that he would go and discuss joining the Republic with the Republic ambassador.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I didn't just go meet with a minor dignitary. I didn't meet with just a senator. Oh, no, I met with Leia Organa Solo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I might be just a small-time country lawyer.
But, yeah, he's basically spinning a tale about using the holo fake. He's like, oh, so I went to go talk to Leia, and Leia called you all dorks.
Anyway, here's a very clearly not fake video where Leia says that you all smell like farts and
yeah.
eat farts and like to bathe in farts.
She smells like farts!
No!
Is basically what happens in this scene.
You are the one who are the ass lickers!
So, yeah, he basically says, I tried to join the Republic for you guys. I really did.
But I did my best, but you know how it is when Leia doesn't like you.
Yeah, and then she has said that every one of you looks like an ugly person.
Look, I know I went up there and I said, the hard-working, beautiful, mm-hmm. friendly people of this planet, they deserve help. And she said, help? I wouldn't help those dumb assholes if anyone was trying to murder me.
I wouldn't pee on them if they were on fire. They all look like backwoods Paul Giamatti's.
The lot of them. And then Paul Giamatti's there, and he's like, aw.
Gee.
Aw, no. You got me.
I could have really used a good day. Just one good day for old PG.
Old Paul. Paulie G's. No one calls me that.
Hey, who's the best-looking person in town now? Anyway, yeah, so
yeah, and of course, Luke reacts to this with, hey, that's bullshit.
I love that Luke straight up yells liar at him.
Yeah, but the problem is, everyone at the town hall is currently also yelling, like, suck my balls!
We all hate Princess Leia now!
Oh, fucking Republic!
Yeah, so they get all super mad. Luke also is briefly interviewed for the purposes of that job that was mentioned. Basically, there is a shipment coming in, and Luke is offered the position of going to get some of the stuff from the shipment. A loader is what they call it. And Umali tells him, oh, that means that they don't trust you to run interference. Because the people they trust, they'll give guns to, and they'll keep the old-timers out.
The Therans.
Yeah, the Therans can't get in and break up the shipment. And he's like, okay, well, I guess I'll take that work then.
Great!
So, that happens. Meanwhile, he watches Seti Ashgad, and we get a little more detail on Seti Ashgad here, which is that before Luke was even born, Ashgad, the senior, the dad Ashgad,
Ashdad,
the Ashdad, was a senator, a human senator who was a contemporary of Palpatine. Back when
and that was banished by Palpatine because he was trying to also get power.
Yes. So we learned that all that happened a long time ago, and that, well, this all happened well before Luke was born. He's an it says he's a politics nerd, and so he watched old holos of Seti Ashgad at some point in his past.
Yeah, I don't
know. He's not.
No fucking farm kid was like, ooh, I found an old VHS copy of a C-SPAN episode. I guess I'll put this on.
Don't sell me that fucking lie that he's listening to Charlie Rose on tape and shit. Luke doesn't care about that. He gets drunk and blasts swamp rats. Luke is desert
if
trash.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
He gets drunk and blasts swamp rats.
Yeah, get drunk and blast swamp rats is one of my favorite episodes of Huttie's pornography.
Womp rat blasting 17.
Forced womp rat blasting.
Yeah,
he's like, man, that guy used to be so enthusiastic, and
they said he had the golden voice.
Yeah.
And I can see where this guy gets it from. I mean, his dad must be like in his 80s by now.
I bet he's retired to that palace in the mountains where the lightning is.
I wonder what his dad's doing, because this guy looks exactly like him and talks exactly like him.
Based on those hollows
I watched.
He
is exactly like him.
Who's doing that? Even the best, even people poli-sci today would be like, yeah, I'm so interested in politics from another country of mine that I watch old videos, and I have some hollows of Benjamin Disraeli, a former prime minister of Britain, that I'm super into.
I'm so into it. I mean, I guess
it's just because they want the hint to drop that this is the same dude. That Seti Ashgad's he's some vampire or some shit.
I assume he's also like force powered.
My guess is that he's the other end of the Death Seed. That the Death Seed kills people in life, and he's the dude who's getting bonus life.
And Dazeem, like, sucks out the death and turns it into life and shoots it into Ashgad?
I think so, yeah. I think Ashgad's the recipient of Dazeem's,
ministrations?
Pull the life out of people, and he's been keeping this dude alive for a long time for his own creepy reasons. Yeah, it makes sense to me. Like, that, all that spare life gotta go somewhere. It's not like Mario's around to collect it. Jumping on turtles and whatnot.
Well, I would... How is Mario collecting it?
He jumps on turtles and whatnot.
That's not collecting life.
It's collecting lives.
No, that's collecting mushrooms.
Also, if you jump on more than 8 turtles, they start getting one-ups.
More than 8 turtles.
Everyone
has knows. There been any time in this book where you've seen one turtle?
Look, my dad used to work at the Empire.
He got me a copy of Mario 4.
But he doesn't work there anymore, and I had to give the copy back, so...
So you can't see it. But I beat it, and it's cool, because at the end, my name's in the credits.
And I loaned it to my girlfriend in Space Canada, so...
Oh, Space Canada.
It's just like regular Canada. Because, you know, that's also in space, technically.
Because, oh, I mean, technically.
So anyway, that's pretty much the end, is Luke yelling liar at this dude, because he makes a very convincing fake Leia.
Yeah, so he's like, all right, well, now I know that... This dude's a huge asshole, and I'm going to go get rid of my anger and...
Oh, that's right. He goes outside and lets his anger burn off.
Yeah, he's like, ooh, I gotta let go of all this anger and let it float up into space and then really visualize what I want out of life. That's the Jedi secret.
And the thing I want the most out of life is my ex-girlfriend who thought I was too clingy.
I love that even in here there's... A point where he thinks about Callista again, mm-hmm. and just goes, oh, I got sad. I made myself sad again.
I have to find the girl who dumped me. I'm a living airborne toxic event song. the airborne. You can't name another one. It's sometime around midnight and then nothing. Come on. Don't kid yourselves.
That's in the book. Word for word.
It's all in there, which is weird because that song came out in like 2008.
I know. Very prescient of Barbara.
Yeah. So anyway, that's pretty much the two chapters.
There you go. Fucking nothing happens. More wheel spinning.
Yeah.
Well, we get a revelation of things we already knew.
Well, I mean, the whole Han chapter thing boils down to there's needle fighters that don't have pilots.
Oh, honestly, the Han chapter is probably the only thing that actually mattered because it added information that we didn't already know.
Yeah, I mean, if you wanted to learn more about, like, long-dead Kubaz chefs, then this was the chapter for you.
Yeah, great.
But if you really wanted to learn that maybe Seti Ashgad is his own dad, then you get a little hint of that, too.
Great. Mm-hmm. He is his own grandpa.
He's also his own grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
You can't fool me, John. It's Seti Ashgad's all the way down.
The whole planet is Seti Ashgad's in various forms. Now when I think about this entire book, I'm going to think of every single person Luke meets as the person who plays Seti Ashgad in various get-ups. Like, just putting on a hat and overalls and being like, hello!
Hello, I'm
Umali Darm!
I'm definitely not the handsome senator, Seti Ashgad.
Oh, what a catch he is.
Ooh.
Oh, why a young man such as yourself would be lucky to have Seti Ashgad. Anyway, I've got to go.
And then, like, he comes in like, a different hat and a jacket, and he's like, hey, I'm Arvid. That's me. I work for Seti Ashgad, and he's so handsome and sexy. I'm Grupp, and I'm Snaplaunce. Wait, you doing two people at once? I have a mustache on a stick. I switch in and out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I guess it's a big old Ithorian face.
Yeah, it's a big Ithorian mask that he takes off and on.
Wait a minute. If you're Grupp and you're Snaplaunce, then... Oh, boy. Anyway, that's the chapters. There you go.
Thank you so much.
Tune in next week for...
more exciting adventures of fucking nothing. Jesus.
Yeah.
It's difficult. Like, it took me... like an hour to get through the first chapter today because I kept reading like a page and then just putting the book down on my leg and going, okay, I still got to read this. All right, here we go.
Spin that book around. Keep going.
Come on, you can do this. It's just nothing and nothing's happening. I always think about these books where fucking nothing happens and I go, did they not watch any of the movies?
Oh, I know, right?
Because all of these read like a really shitty 70s movie where no one leaves a room and they all just like talk on a phone in a wood paneled sheriff's office. Because that's what these books are.
Yeah, I know. I think part of the problem is if you do a novelization of like New Hope, it's like 40 pages and Bantam doesn't want that shit. You know, if it's just like, and then Luke did a cool flip in his fighter and it was like, pre-ow, pre-ow,
near,
and then he got a sweet medal, but not the dog. The end.
Yeah, but even if you take a little bit of time, the amount of scene changing, introduction of cool things, action beats, like there's a lot of things that happen in any of these movies, and
these books or the movies?
No, the movies.
Yeah, the movies.
And then when you get to the book, it's like, what happens? Oh, fucking nothing.
Meanwhile, still on the planet that's
still
boring.
In the room she's been in for the past 150 pages. Leia is high.
Luke gets a job in a repair shop.
You're like, oh, good. This is what the people wanted. They wanted to see Luke get a job and then get a different job and also be angry at a town hall meeting.
Yeah.
What is this bullshit?
Well, that's just Jaws.
Yeah. This is...
You ever seen a Leia? Cold, dead eyes. Like a doll's eyes. Smash cut. Interior. Han's apartment. Okay. All right. You know, one of the things you never saw in the actual Star Wars movies is anyone except Luke being at home. And when Luke was at home, it was specifically because it was boring.
Yeah. It was there to be like, oh, this is garbage. And the whole setup for this is I want to leave it.
Yeah.
But not here. Here it's just, here I am in a room again.
Yeah.
Hey.
I guess Lando was at home, too, but you didn't, like, see his quarters or anything. You just saw the building you lived in.
Yeah. It's not, oh, I'm at home. It's, I'm doing business things on Business Planet.
Welcome to Business Planet, where I'm going to betray you. I mean, I'm not.
I mean, I'm not betraying you.
Definitely not doing that.
Please get into this room. You go first.
So anyway, folks, if you enjoyed this episode and would like to hear more stuff about Star Wars, then
the only reason that we will continue reading this is if you support us, because otherwise, fuck this book.
Yeah, we'll just stop. I mean, I forget what the goal was for us to start doing this, but it was some far, far ago. It was like under 1,000 or something on the Patreon.
The doing this weekly goal was set maybe a little low.
Wasn't it like, I think that might have been the 1,000 goal.
No, that was the 1,500, I think.
Oh, was it? Okay, that's, well, you know, people earned it. Good job, folks.
You earned it, you did it, but by God.
You want us to do it 3 times a week? Let me set a new goal for you.
You want to set a new goal where we set up a camera and you have to watch us try and read this and see our tears?
If you like the Star Wars stuff that we do and you want to hear some more, then good news, there's bonus content for every single episode of Expounded Universe where John and I go on to Wikipedia, find weird, dumb stories from Wikipedia, and trust me, it's full of them, and bring them back to tell to each other and to you, the listener.
You're goddamn right.
That's right. And these amazing tales can be yours for the low, low cost of $2 per system. I know it's confusing. $2 per system mastery episode. It's like $4 a month. Come on. It's not that bad. We aren't going to pull
it. It basically boils down to $1 per episode.
Yeah. We're not going to pull a weird internet trick and charge you 1,000 times a month. We've never done that, and we never will.
Yeah. We've been doing this for years. We are consummate professionals, weirdly.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
I mean, you listen to us, you wouldn't think that. And yet, here we are.
We actually file taxes and, like, itemize and shit. We do, like, this is a real job.
We're like adults.
I know. It's the strangest thing. And you can help us do that job.
Can help us be adults.
Yeah. For a simple cost of about $4 a month, just pledge at the $2 level. You'll unlock a bonus episode 4 times a month of Star Wars, plus twice a month of System Mastery. That's 6 bonus episodes for $4 a month. That's 75 cents an episode.
That's ridiculous.
It's completely insane. We should not be doing this. We need to raise our prices, and you should get in there before we do.
And if you want to bump it up, you can go to the $5 level. You get our Afterthought monthly episode, which is always a delight, and first of the month is coming up.
Yeah, coming right up. You can be right on the dot to get that episode when it hits.
Hell yeah. It's good stuff. I mean, we're going to have a lot of conversations about what happened to Jeff in the hospital, so if you're curious about his weird nonsense that happened with his gross, disgusting body.
So $4 a month. That gets you that bonus content. Otherwise, thank you so much for listening. We'll see you on the at patreon.com/systemmastery, obviously. Otherwise, you can find us at systemmasterypodcast.com or wherever fine t-shirts are sold. Twitter, Facebook, Reddit, whatever. We're System Mastery to all those places. I've been Elan Sleazebagiano.
And I love fake Huttie's death porn.